Thank you. I'm going to ask Jackie to come up and bring our reading for us. Thanks, Jackie.
Reading this morning is the birth of Jesus, Luke 2:1-7. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph went up to the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, in Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them.
So what I want to bring this morning is not so much an exposition of scripture and get into a particular Bible passage, but it's a thought to do with Christmas time. Now, Christmas is an exciting time, as you all know, especially for children. It's also a very busy time, and there's lots of plans to make, and some people like to write lists to make sure they remember everything. How many of you are list makers? Yes, quite a few of us. What kind of list do we make at Christmas? What kind of Christmas lists do we have? I'll tell you what, I'm going to write some up on my flip chart here. So what list do you have at Christmas time? Somebody shout one out. Presents. Presents to buy. Okay. Presents. Another one? Cards to write. Yeah, okay. Cards. Another one? Food to get. Yeah, Christmas food. Jobs to do around the house. You have your jobs, do you, Dave? Yeah. Yeah, jobs. Does Leslie give you a big list, does she? Oh, poor guy. Sorry?
Fix the oven door.
That's one of the jobs on the list, yes. Yeah, okay.
Family
to invite, yes. Family or friends to see or invite, yeah. Family and friends, yeah. Anything else? Is that it? Is that all the list we have? Let's see how many you've got that I've got on my list. Let's put them up there, Dan. I wrote a few things down. Presents to give. Yes, okay, we got that one. Cards to write. Look at that. He's not doing this as we're doing it, you know. He's already done. Food to buy. It's in the same order. People to invite. Oh, we're down here now. And decorations to get. But most people have them already, but crackers and tree and things like that to get if you haven't got them already. Dave has his jobs. Okay. So today I'm talking about Mary. I want us to think about Mary for a little bit today, and what it was like for her, because I reckon that Mary probably had a list. I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but I think she probably had a list. What list do you think Mary had? Anybody guess? What list did Mary have? That wasn't what was on her mind at the start of the Christmas story. Yes? Good answer, but it wasn't what was on her mind at the beginning of the Christmas story. What list did Mary have at the beginning of the Christmas story? Yes?
Getting ready for a wedding.
A wedding list. Correct. At the start of the Christmas story, Mary's list would have been a wedding list. Okay, let's try and do a wedding list. What things would you put on your list for a wedding? Venue to book. Okay, venue.
People to invite.
People. The minister to book. Carry on. Catering. 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 flowers to get. Okay, flowers. Yes, let's put flowers on. Dress. I heard dress then. Dress to get.
Ring.
Makeup, hair, ring. We'll put ring down the bottom. I haven't got ring for any more. But I heard them. That'll do. And cake me bad. Right, okay, let's see my list. First one. Invites to send. Yes, people to invite, that'll do. Wedding dress, yeah, we've got the dress, yes. People, yes. Venue to book, 3. Flowers to arrange, we got the flowers, where's the flowers? Below catering, oh, there they are, yeah, thank you. And gifts to buy for the bridesmaid and things like that, those kind of things, and mother-in-laws and so on. So we didn't do bad, we got close. I think Mary probably had some kind of list. It might have been slightly different to that one, but Mary probably was thinking about a wedding. What girl doesn't dream about her wedding and think about it? And she was betrothed to be married to Joseph. And so she would be thinking about the wedding and getting ready for it and everything. That was what was on her mind. And then, and I don't know if you've ever thought about this properly, but then her plans were suddenly changed. What happened? Surprise. An angel appeared to her and said, "You're going to have a baby." And the baby's going to be God's baby. Let's put ourselves in Mary's mind for a moment there. The next thing that she would be feeling is shock. Hold on a minute, how can this be? And this is very interesting, and Aaron brought this point out the other day at our 8 o'clock service a couple of weeks ago. Because Mary says in Luke 1:34, she says, "How will this be? How is this going to happen?" she's saying, because she's a virgin. So how can I be pregnant? Which is very different to Zechariah's response when he was told that his wife was going to have a baby. It doesn't seem different at first, but it is, because what he actually said was, "How can I be sure?" Luke 1:18, "How can I be sure?" Now the difference is this, it's subtle. Zechariah's comment when he was told about having the baby was, "How can I be sure this is going to happen? We're old. This really can't be so, surely." There's an element of doubt and unbelief there in Zechariah when he says it, of disbelief. The angel must have got it wrong. Luke 1:18. But Luke 1:34, "How will this be?" is more a question of, okay, I'm not doubting it's going to happen, but how's it going to happen? And it's interesting that later on, Mary is called blessed because she believed and obeyed and trusted. So shock, fear. How am I going to tell Joseph? How am I going to tell Joseph about this? And I don't know if you've ever thought of this either, but that conversation didn't go well. Because what does it say? It tells us that Joseph had in mind to divorce her quietly. So she's obviously had a conversation with him, and he said, "Okay, well, this is so messed up. I don't, you know what to do about this. I know what you're saying, but I'm sorry. I can't cope with that, and this is going to look really bad. I'll save you some face. I'll save us both some face, but especially you, because I do love you. But we're going to have to separate. We're going to have to break off this betrothal, this engagement, because I can't go through with this." Imagine now how Mary feels. A lot of emotion going on, isn't there, behind this wonderful, nice Christmas story. And if that had happened, some people say that David's line could have even been at stake here. Because some people follow the lineage back and say that it was of David's line because of Mary. And some people say it was of David's line because of Joseph, depending on which family tree in Matthew or Luke that you follow. Of course, both could be true in a way as well. But some would say that there was even the threat of that here, if that was went through, that divorce. But of course, the angel appears to Joseph as well and reassures Joseph, and he ends up ultimately marrying Mary as well. What about the joy? The joy of, I'm going to have a baby. I'm going to have a baby. Wow. There's a joy in that as well. Of going to be, she's with child. She's going to have a baby. And the privilege, wow, it's God's baby. I am carrying in me, not me personally, this was Mary, I'm just... I'm carrying in me the promises of God that were given to Abraham, that were given to David. The one that was going to come is now going to be birthed in me. This is the promises from the Old Testament times, right the way through. And I'm carrying the promises of God in me. The fulfillment of all those promises from all these great Old Testament prophets. Little old me is carrying those promises within me. I'm carrying the promises. I'm carrying the Word of God. Jesus is the Word of God, as declared in John's Gospel at the beginning. In the beginning was the Word was with God. The Word was God. The Word of Jesus was inside Mary. I'm carrying the promises of God. I'm carrying the Word of God. I'm carrying the life of God. Incarnate. Jesus incarnate. God incarnate in Jesus. What a privilege. I just want to say at this point that we also have that privilege, you know. Let's not forget that this Christmas time. We also have that privilege. I'm not now prophetically declaring you're all pregnant. But what I am saying is that you and I, we carry the promises of God in the gospel that we now know. We carry, we have the Word of God written down for us to share with others, readily available. And we carry God Himself in us by His Holy Spirit to take and share with others. What a privilege. Well, Mary, now this had happened, had to come up with a new list. What was a new list? A baby list. Okay, let's do it again. Baby list. What's on the baby list? Nappies. A crib. Is that what you said? Crib? Yeah, I'm going to put cot. We live in the 20th century now. Okay, anything else?
Midwife, helper.
Midwife? Who's put a midwife on there? Okay, midwife. I'll go for it. Midwife.
Buggy.
Buggy.
Empty buggy.
Empty bank account, that is. That's what he said. Money. Anything else on the list? Clothes. Clothes. Okay, that'll do. Let's see what I've got on my baby list up here. Nursery to prepare. Yeah, not got that one. Cot and buggy. Cot, buggy. They're together. Baby clothes. Yes, we got baby clothes. Yep. Bethlehem Botty Cream, you didn't get that one, did you? And, oh, Nazareth Nappies, yes. Well, we got nappies, so we'll have that one as well. Good. So Mary probably had her baby list now. Now she's had to think about a baby. She's gone from a wedding to baby clothes and baby things that she needs because she's going to have a baby. But then her plans are suddenly changed again. It's not that she's not going to have a baby, but there's a surprise. Caesar calls a census. Mary and Joseph now have to go and register in Bethlehem. There's a shock because this is awful timing. I mean, who'd call for a census or an election in December? There's a fear of travelling heavily pregnant. Nazareth to Bethlehem was about 90 miles. It took about a week for that journey. And they couldn't take all this stuff with them. So it was, they'd been making this list and getting things together. They couldn't take all that with them. And remember, at this point, if it took a week and she gave birth when she was there, she was getting pretty close as well. They had to travel on this journey and go there to register. Joy. What joy was there in these plans? Probably that they get to see the hometown again. I don't know. We'll put that one up. And privilege. That they were responsible for God's son on this journey all the way. And you know, being pregnant isn't easy. You can take my word for it. Do you know what the most common craving is for a woman during pregnancy? What do you think? Strawberries? No, no, none of them. It's for men to get pregnant. The priority when you're pregnant becomes looking after the baby within, doesn't it? The priority when you're pregnant is looking after the baby, the life within, to care for it, to feed them right, to protect them, talking to them, resting, making sure you've got the rest. It becomes a priority to protect that little one within. Have you ever thought about how much responsibility Mary must have felt carrying Jesus on that difficult journey, knowing all the things that we've said before about how special that baby was? In particular, what if it went wrong? What if it went wrong? What if she fell over on the way and damaged that baby in some way? We worry about babies at the best of time when we're pregnant. But what about when it's this special baby that was carrying, she was carrying the promises of God, the word of God, the God incarnate in her, that everyone had been waiting for all this time? What a responsibility, and she has to go on this journey. We carry Jesus, we carry God's Spirit too, as I've said. He lives in us. We need to treasure him, prioritize that life within. It's a big responsibility. It's a big responsibility. 1 Corinthians 3, 16 and 17, Paul says, stop quarrelling. You've got the Holy Spirit inside of you. How dare you? That's what he says. You read it. 1 Corinthians 6, 18 to 20, Paul says, respect your body. You're carrying the Spirit of God. Don't abuse it with drunkenness or casual sex or other things that are bad for you. Don't abuse it. You carry the Spirit of God. What an awesome responsibility. So Mary had to come up with a new list again. What was the list this time?
Food for the journey.
Holiday list. When you're going on holiday, what's on your list? Money. What else?
Clothes.
Clothes to pack, okay.
Travel plans.
We'll put travel plans, yeah. And documents and things like that, yes.
Hotel,
okay. Accommodation, yeah. Accommodation, I'll put a com.
Insurance.
How much would insurance be to protect the Son of God? Okay, documents. I'll put documents, and that includes insurance. Okay? Sun cream. Okay, that'll do. We've got enough there. Let's see what I've got on my list. Clothes, yes. Money, yes. Travel documents, yes. Packed lunch. You didn't have your packed lunch with you. You're all going hungry. And guest house list, accommodation. There we go. Brilliant. So Mary had her holiday list that she would have had with her. And then her plans changed yet again. Surprise, they couldn't find any accommodation. Shock, they had to use a stable and a trough with animals in the stable or the cave, whichever it was. The fear, think about this one. Think about this. Oh no, I've failed God. Oh no, I've failed God. We've come this way and we haven't made the accommodation plans. We've got here and we haven't got anywhere, and now I've got to go in a stable. Think about it. If you had the child of God in you, the one that was fulfilling all of these promises, the word of God, would you feel in some way like you had failed God if you had to take him into a dirty stable or cave with animals and be in there to give birth because you hadn't got anywhere to go in a proper inn? Would you feel that way? I reckon you would. I reckon I would. Oh no, I failed God. I can't believe this is happening. And then the second thing she'd probably say is, Joseph, you failed me. It's your fault. You should have booked ahead. You didn't try hard enough. You should have visited some more places. You've let me down. You've let God down. I don't want to speak to you again for the rest of the night. But suddenly, all that didn't matter. All that mattered was getting the baby out, because the contraction started, the baby started to come, there was pain of the baby coming, and then the joy. Yes, I've done it. Yes, it's done. God's son is here. And Jesus enters Mary's world. See, right through this story, what I've been trying to show you is that Mary's plans had to continually be laid aside, be put to one side. What she wanted to do, she had to keep laying things down in order to get to the point where Jesus was born in her life in all his fullness and wonder and splendor, and we're still celebrating 2,000 years on. Because he had to take priority for this to happen. And she thought it had all kept going wrong on the way. She didn't know. The angel didn't tell her there was going to be the census, and he didn't tell her they were going to be in a stable. She kept thinking it was going wrong. But she kept having to put him first all the way. And in the end, she found out it was exactly what God wanted in the first place. It was all prophetic. It had all been planned. God had said it was all going to happen that way. We can look back now and see that. But it was all there. And this is what I want us to remember today. Jesus entered our world. He enters our world. When we become a Christian, it's like Paul was saying, when we become a Christian, he enters our world. And in order for him to do that, we need to lay our plans to one side. We will need to lay things to one side. It doesn't mean if you've always wanted to be a doctor that you still can't be a doctor necessarily, but it could. Are we open to that? But what it means is we're willing to lay everything down in our life. Our plans, various things, various habits, various addictions. Anything and everything, we have to lay it down, because when we become a Christian, Jesus becomes Lord of our life. There is nothing more important than him. Things have to change. Things have to change. We lay those things down and he becomes the priority. And sometimes some of those plans and ideas that we may have had, he may say, that's great, still go with that one. And sometimes he may not. And some of the times the things in our life he may be happy with to continue. and others may not. But it becomes, what does he want? He is the priority. Jesus is the center. It's all about him now. We need to make that decision when we come to Christ in the first place. To become a Christian, you have to be able to do that and willing to do that. That's what baptism is all about. We die to ourselves and we live for him. But it doesn't stop there. That is the Christian life. That is what we've signed up to. We carry the life and spirit of God within when we become a Christian. And he has to be the center. And at Christmas time, let us remember, let us reflect on that. And let us make sure that nothing, absolutely nothing, takes preference or priority in our life more than Jesus. He has to be the center, just like he was for Mary. And you know what? When we get that right, he births amazing things in our life. And he will do. We will see fruit. We will see God's blessing on our life. Just like Mary was blessed. Most blessed among women. We will be blessed. The Christmas message is Jesus loved us so much he was willing to lay aside all his glory in heaven to join us here on earth, to come as a baby in a wooden manger and ultimately lay his life down for us on a wooden cross. And he calls us to respond to this love by laying things down and giving our lives over to him, and then to share that love with others. So what does or could putting your plans and things aside to make room for Jesus mean in your life this Christmas? And how could you make sure he takes priority this Christmas in your life? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the Christmas story. All its wonder and its splendor, its beauty, but also the challenges that it brings. We thank you for the faithfulness of Mary in believing and trusting in you, in going along with all the different changes she had to make to prioritize you, for being faithful in her carrying of you and birthing of you. And we ask that you will help us to be faithful to you. Help us even now in this moment to recommit to laying down things that have gotten in the way of making you number one in our life, Jesus. Father, forgive us for when we have put other things that we know were not right in the way of you, for wrong priorities, for sin in our life. For not making you totally Lord of our life. Lord, forgive us this morning, we humbly ask. And we ask that this Christmas time, particularly, we might now move forward from this service even. We might now go from this place today, having recommitted and made you the center of our life once again. And for anyone here that's doing that for the first time today, I hope that you will put Jesus first in your life. Say sorry to him for the past, just like Paul did when he shared before. And make him Lord of your life. You will not regret it. And please let us know afterwards if you've done that, so we can help you on your journey with him. Amen.